Gary, you know that song from Chris Brown? This drip got you in heat. Everything designer, that's on me. I wonder if the NBA in-season tournament courts have everybody in heat. The testosterone is flowing. As we say hello on the Yael Duncan Show, nothing says copious amounts of testosterone like a female-centered show with her friend Gary Streisky.
Hell yeah, I get my testosterone supplements at Costco, over the counter.
Wait, I'm sorry, you take testosterone?
I'm nearing 40, so it's just testosterone support, L. It's not HGH, all right? You're not talking to Jose Canseco over here.
Okay, good. So like there's no, you don't have like pimples on your back. There's no rage or anything coming. Because I've spent a lot of time around you, especially lately. And I have got no sense that you are roided up.
Well, you better be careful, Al, because.
Gary Barrett, you sounded very Hulk Hogan-ish, by the way. It was very WWE.
Hell yeah, brother.
I feel like the NBA is kind of wilding right now.
Yes.
I'm being asked the question, is this the most competitive the NBA has been in years? No. Hey. But is this the most moxied, juiced up, angry, bitter, petty? Listen, NBA fights, especially of late, are notorious for just circling the wagons. It's lots of posturing, Gary. Lots of chest bumping, chest thumping, yelling as other people are holding you back. Mm-hmm. But we saw Draymond Green, speaking of WWE, just go full UFC, arm around the throat, yep. Rear naked chokehold
yep.
to Rudy Gobert,
super
who funny. I believe has, what, 6-7 inches on him?
Yes.
And then just sort of drag him across the court when the so T-Wolves funny. And the Warriors were mixing it up on Tuesday night.
Clippers, for this this quick segment, y'all can sit this one out, all right? So, LA Clippers, if you're listening, need not apply. This ain't about you. That was personal with Draymond, all right? He been wanting to do that. He been wanting to find any excuse to choke out to choke out Rudy Gobert. Like, he had some pent up, okay? He been holding that inside. But I think the funniest thing that has come out of that entire altercation is that the chokee in Rudy Gobert critiqued Draymond Green's choking ability. He was like, he was trying to choke me, but he didn't have that good of a grip. He was trying to put me to sleep, but he couldn't because he didn't have that good of a grip. Super funny. And it's only November.
I'm not going to lie. That part to me was really interesting. The gall, the unmitigated
yeah.
gall for
yeah.
Rudy.
Love
who-
the word.
Whilst getting choked is oh, like yeah. throwing his arms up. He's like, he's like, oh no, I'm so defenseless. Like, look what's happening, you guys. Like, he's playing it up, right? He's really acting. He's like, I can't believe this is happening. And then he goes from the comfort and safety of a press conference. He then decides to beat his chest a little bit and go after Draymond, which I found was really interesting. I don't know what this says about me, Gary.
Ooh.
As a person, I do not match some of our colleagues' outrage here. Draymond Green gets suspended for 5 games by the NBA.
That was light.
Before this is, well, everybody is saying it's too light. It's Wait, too, what? This is so egregious. Like, Draymond is problematic. He has a long history. You're sullying the NBA's good name. It's unreal. Now, whenever anybody thinks about the in-season tournament, they'll just have this indelible image of Rudy Gobert helplessly being choked out by Draymond. I find all of this to be so extra. I've seen like friends do that at a party to each other and then just like keep drinking and kick it later that night. I mean, it kind of feels like this is what y'all do. I don't think it's that egregious. I don't think it's that crazy. Am I wrong? It's not that big of a deal. I mean, it's not like you tried to murder Rudy Gobert. I'm so confused why everyone's so outraged. We finally got what we've been asking for, a real NBA fight. And Draymond didn't even pick on his own teammate this time. What do you want from this man? That's growth, Gary. That's evolution. At least it was another person.
What kind of parties you going to where people choking each other out?
Oh, please. You've never been to a party where there's just like a friendly little scuffle. I mean, God, yes. I used to host clubs in Atlanta. Like that kind of behavior happened at the bar. And then like later on, it's like, whatever, we're good. I just don't think it's that serious. They act like he, you know, tried to cause physical harm. He was basically like being like, little brother, like I'm going to hem you up and I'm going to drag you across the court because I can. And if you want to stop me, 7 foot Rudy Gobert, then stop me.
Well, he's got soft hands, Rudy Gobert, I could imagine. He moisturizes multiple times a day. I think trying to choke somebody out, L, is sort of crossing the line a little bit. I don't think Rudy Gobert and Draymond are at the club chilling with each other and they're like, dude, check this out. I learned this the other day. Just tap out when you're ready. There was nothing friendly about that, L. He was trying to put that man to sleep. One pillow, one blanket, one bed sheet. You ready to go night-night? You ready to go night-night? That was what Draymond was thinking as he was choking out Rudy Gobert. But I love it in that everybody's, oh, it's a bad look for Draymond. He's got history. Do you know the field day we at ESPN are going to have cutting promos with that for the rest of the season?
Yes.
As the December 9th in-season tournament finishes right here in Las Vegas, that's going to get so much play. So as much as the NBA is trying to send a message, suspending Draymond, and of course, condemning him choking out, getting physical with Rudy Gobert. On the low, they're like, yo, make sure you get that in all the promos.
Of course they are. I mean, listen, the score was 0-0 when that happened.
Small detail.
Mine can't even, they weren't even playing yet. Like they were already that angry. Listen. They can run from it if they want to, but hockey understands that, like, people yes. like to see the fight. Those dudes actually throw yes. hands. They actually try to beat the dog out of each other. And it's a part of the game. And all that the NBA has offered in this space over the last 25 years is just a bunch of circling of the wagons. And so I love this. I love that Draymond decided, if I'm going to be the shepherd that ushers us back into the era of real NBA fighting.
Yes.
Real NBA fighting. Let me be the steward. Let him be that man. Because wouldn't you have it any, would you have it any other way? It's Draymond. He should be the one to finally bring us back to the old days. You know, when they were fighting for real in basketball.
Is that a thinly veiled comparison of Draymond Green to Jesus? Damn.
More like Moses.
Yeah, oh, okay, got it. Whichever it was.
He is our Moses. Yeah. Let him part the Red Sea. Let us walk down this path towards pettiness and animus.
Oh.
We're into it. People not liking each other is a storyline.
No, I love that. I love that because the NBA has gotten too friendly over the years. And I do think there is something to say about the Timberwolves. And again, we're a dozen games or so into the season. But they're playing really good basketball, and they're one of the top 3 or 4 teams record-wise in the West. And they're sort of looking down on who had the dominant run this last 10, 12 years in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors. And, like, we're starting to see the tides turn a little bit in terms of, all right, we got a little bit – some different flavor in the Western Conference, at least right now. I know it's early.
Right. It's November.
I know, but you got teams like the Rockets who are kind of playing well. You got teams like the Timberwolves, obviously, the Kings, the Thunder. They're trying to make some noise. And listen, they got to get scrappy. They got to get their elbows dirty if they're going to hang with the big dogs in the West. I love it. Rudy Gobert needs to learn how to throw a punch, though.
The Timberwolves, to me, are one of those teams, until they prove otherwise.
Correct.
That are sort of like the, you know, the employee that is on their best behavior during that 90-day review.
Yes.
You know, like they're just trying to get insurance.
Yes.
They're trying to get on the pension plan. So they are, they're, you know, first one in, last one out mentality. Like they're surprising people. Like, ooh, who knew? You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We thought Richard was just coming in the mailroom, but Richard might have front office aspirations. And then after 90 days, Richard's like, oh, I'm putting my feet up. I don't really want to, like, I'm not, this was never sustainable. I was never going to be this guy forever. I just wanted to okey-doke you a little bit. So until they can prove that they can do this thing, same thing in April, and I want that for them. Anthony Edwards is so fun to watch. And you talk about somebody who is Carmen so Wilson. Easy to listen to. He's the best. He can say anything and I would watch.
Who's Alex Rodriguez?
I also think it beats. I think it beats having to beat the same dead drum on picking on James Harden. We've now reached the point of James Harden where I'm like, you guys, this is.
Get him out.
I get it. Bum. He doesn't make it easy on himself because he keeps opening his mouth. And then, of course, everyone is like out with their pitchforks. Like, how dare you? We did it here too. How could you? I'm not a system player. I'm a system. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it's such low-hanging fruit to say, well, James Harden, since you went to the Clippers, they're literally 0-6. They can't win a game, and this isn't good. James Harden's blaming a lack of training camp for the slow start.
Whose fault was that?
Ty Lue, their head coach, also his fault. Ty Lue, their head coach, is like, James Harden's not the problem. In fact, the problem is James Harden's not touching the ball enough. He's not being selfish enough.
Okay, well, let's just look back at some things. Not touching the ball enough. Tuesday night, he played 35 minutes. Sunday, he played 29 minutes. Friday, he played 29 minutes. Wednesday, he played 36 minutes. Okay. So if he's not
well, there are 48 minutes in a game, Gare.
This is crazy. And James Harden's plus minus hasn't been on the positive side of that in his duration with the Clippers. And L, you know me, I don't besmirch professional athletes. They are the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. They have elite skill that neither of us, anybody listening, will ever have the ability to even comprehend. But James Harden is going to go down as one of the most selfish, the most self-centered athletes in our modern era. And all you have to do is take a look back at the last handful of seasons, what he's done, the bridges he's burned, and the bridges he's burned has only lit the way to the next city, the next franchise, the next group of players in the locker room that he's going to get on his bad side again. Russell Westbrook for the third time is going to be on that. We all saw it when James Harden walked into the locker room. It was so awkward. Russell Westbrook was like, hey, man, you stay over there. Ha, ha, he, he. No, but seriously, you stay over there. Ha, ha.
It was like a Sadie Hawkins dance. You on one side. Yeah, it was so bad.
Leave room for Jesus and Moses and all his disciples. He did. James Harden's a bum. Like, God, I don't like him. And you know what else? I would say that to him. Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. Well, I wouldn't say that to his face, but let me say this. If this ever got to James Harden and he ever confronted me on it, I would back up my position to him. I would
view. You would say to his face, I stand by the fact you're a bum, James Harden.
Yes.
Lies.
Yes.
Cat.
No, I would.
Cat. No, you wouldn't. You're way too nice. You're way too nice of a person. You would not do that. You would turn the color of a beet, nope. And you would go, let me explain. You'd say something charming, you would tell a joke, and you would try and backtrack your way out of it. I know you, Gary. No, you wouldn't.
Well, that's exactly what I would do. But I would, but by doing that, I would maintain my position.
I think that what James Harden is doing is he's gone from like, everyone doesn't want him to go down on the list of like some of the best players of all time to never win a championship. Like no one wants that for him, you know? And it's now becoming one of those things where it's like, because he's becoming sort of unlikable, you're just like, I don't care, right? Like everybody wanted that for Dikembe. Everybody wanted that for Charles Barkley, but they're like very likable people. You know what I mean? Even AI, it's like, I wanted that for him. Like, I hate that for him. When it comes to James Harden, I think time sort of telling his story, it'll end up being like he didn't win because of him, right? We've always like placed blame on other reasons or outliers as to why some of these greats never won a championship. But I think with James Harden, where he's sort of the parameters that he's working with, it's just, it's like, it's you. And the thing with the Clippers is that they've already been here. I think that James Harden just broke a tie with Russell Westbrook for the longest stretch from a former MVP to join a new team and keep losing. Like it was five. And then he tied Russell Westbrook when he went to the Clippers and it was five. It's just like, at some point you've got to start going, yo, I everywhere I go, it smells like onion rings. Am I musty? Am I the source of the smell of onion rings? Like at some point you've got to ask yourself that, you know, are you the onion rings?
God, I love onion rings. Bad comparison, because I'm like, wow, that sounds really great. I love Funyuns. Nobody can name a redeemable quality that James Harden has brought to a team in the last 2-3 seasons. Okay, yeah, he could score. And actually, when he did when he did endorse second fiddle to Joel Embiid, and when he was an assist monster, and he got stumped for the All-Star, I do remember taking a position. Like, the guy leads the Eastern Conference in assists. He's facilitating the MVP or the soon-to-be MVP, sure. And he didn't get it. He didn't get an All-Star nod. So I was able to recognize that, but I mean, he hasn't brought redeemable quality both inside the locker room. And, of course, this is us seeing this from the outside and how it's played out. He hasn't brought more redeemable quality than not to a team in the last handful of seasons. That's really bad.
I've kind of – well, I don't feel for Philadelphia fans because – please. But Sixers fans really thought, oh, we got rid of one problem. We're so tired of the tabloids. We just want to focus on basketball. We want to get back to processing, right? Mm-hmm. So they thought they got rid of that problem, and here they are sitting pettily in the corner like, ha-ha, L.A., good luck to you. He's your guy. And yeah. Now they've been unwittingly dragged back into the rumor mill because
camera almost went down. This
banana stories about Kelly Oubre Jr. So for some background, Kelly Oubre balling in Charlotte last year, mm-hmm. gets a nice deal, a 1-year deal in Philly. What can you do on a contender? Charlotte ain't going nowhere, but what can you do here? He's doing pretty good in those first six games. He is bollying. And then, bam, he's out. And why, Gary? Why is he out indefinitely?
This man was trying to cross the street in Center City. Got hit by a car.
What?
Damn.
Hit by a car. Horrible, right? Horrible. He had to go to the hospital. He told the police, I got hit by a car. Described the car and everything. They clipped me with their rear view. They just kept going. That's not cool. Then, plot twist, here come the police officers in Philly.
Uh-oh.
Based on where Kelly Oubre said he was hit by said car, could be cap. We can't find any videos supporting his story. No Uh-oh. Videos exist.
Uh-oh.
So here goes the internet, as the internet tends to do. Uh-oh, let's start connecting dots. Why would he be lying? Why would he lie about getting hit? Did he get hit by his side piece? He's a married man. Did his side piece find out that he had another side piece and hit him with her car? Was he trying to jump in front of the car and say, stop, side piece, don't leave, so she ran over him? What happened? Here goes the internet. Rumors going. Rumors. Fly, fly, fly. Meanwhile, Nick Nurse, head coach of the Sixers, he has to come out and literally be like, y'all are crazy, and I stand by my guy. If he says he got hit by a damn car, he got hit by a damn car, and I don't care what y'all say. Then, here comes TMZ.
Swooping in, as they tend to do.
Oh, really? Because we've got Kelly Oubre Jr.'s apartment ring camera video and audio that shows him wheeling a bike into his front door, clearly in pain, wincing, Gary. I mean, he's going, ugh. You can hear him. His wife's like, what's wrong? He's like, I got hit by a car. She calls the ambulance. They take him to the hospital. They realize he's got broken ribs. This guy's hurt. And that's where all of this started. And so who do you believe, Gary? Do you believe Kelly Oubre Jr. did get hit by a car and maybe, I don't know, just moved to Philly so was a little bit confused about the cross streets? Or do you believe the internet, who's just saying, you know, whatever they want?
God, I'm so gullible. I'm the worst person to ask this question to because I can believe any story that you just said and then anything else anybody says. Important to note and preface, allegedly, to everything that Elle just said, okay?
Allegedly.
Okay? Allegedly, all of that. On first blush, I believed the story that he got hit by a car because Center City, Philadelphia, been there a couple of times with the missus. It's busy. It's active. People are out and about. Not all of them are adhering to pedestrian traffic laws. Some of them are adhering to traffic laws. So it's not outside the realm of possibility for somebody to mess around, not be paying attention, get clipped by a car, passing by or otherwise. And it's 100% believable that he could get his cross streets mixed up. Okay. He just got to Philly. This guy's a Houston guy. He's been bouncing around, not too familiar with it. But then you threw in this X factor, and I've been calling Kelly Oubre for the last handful of years Mr. Steal Your Girl in the NBA because that dude is handsome.
Yeah, he is.
So Ludacris got a song about area codes, and Philadelphia also has many area codes. You know where I'm getting with this. So, L, I could go either way on this one. Okay, I could go either way on this one. I'm going to need some more evidence. I'm going to need some more proof. I'm going to need that video. Speaking of video, how the hell did TMZ get ring camera video?
They get everything, but that you just proved my point, Gary. This is why I hate the internet, because basically what you just said was Kelly Oubre is a man who's attractive and has a penis, so it's totally feasible that he got wrapped up in a domestic issue and his side piece hit him with a car. Do you understand the stretch that that is? Where do we get there? Where do we go? When did we stop giving people the benefit of the doubt? Where did we go from he just made an honest mistake to this dude's got multiple families all across the country and he's actually been hit multiple times by a car? In fact, this is the third rib that's been broken by a side chick. Like, this is what we do. And it just makes, like, we don't let any of the facts come out. It just, as soon as there is a little bit of a differing or a dissent, we want to be the first to go, called it, he's lying, he's got a side chick, there's something wrong, he was doing this and he was doing that. And I just think it's totally wrong and unfair. Well, and I hate that shows like this keep promoting that story by talking about it.
Well, let the record show that I did preface your question with saying that I believe the first iteration of the story, but until those facts and videos do come out, I will allow other testimony. I will allow other theories in the courtroom.
You let the internet plant a little seed of doubt, and then that thing grew into a big wrong burger.
Well, this is the court of public opinion, okay, sometimes, and we will let people argue their case until further evidence is proven.
Okay.
In a court of law.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
In that vein, I need the court of public opinion here. I need our listeners and watchers. I need the audience members involved. Because I feel like in the sports world, there are a few terms that we overuse like hell. Game of the century, game of the year, GOAT, top five, right? Like we're always trying, like all that. Here's another one. You ready? Mm-hmm. America's team.
Oof, yeah.
Okay. America's team has specifically been defined by the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. I believe. I'm sure someone out there can give me some deep retrospect on the actual origins of America's team. But as far as I've been alive, 40 years, America's team is almost directly reflective of the Dallas Cowboys. That's their moniker. That's their thing. But since then, people have co-opted it for many things, right? If you like a player or they have a great storyline, suddenly they become America's team. I said it on this podcast a few weeks ago. Is Detroit America's team? I mean, the answer is no. But Jim Harbaugh has decided that Michigan's going to enter the chat because, of course, he gets suspended. We talked about this. His team still boat races Penn State. And he decided afterwards to self-proclaim, self-dub his team as America's team.
It's got to be America's team. It's got to be America's team. America loves a team that beats the odds, beats the adversity, overcomes what the naysayers and, critics, so-called experts think.
We're America's team. That's what he says, which is a little bit antithetical to what they've been preaching, which is that it's Michigan versus everybody, right? We talked about this chip on the shoulder. We've been slighted. This is galvanizing. No one wants us to win. We're a bunch of cheaters. And so we're going to use that. It's going to fuel us for the rest of this run. Michigan versus everybody. You can understand that the polarity of those two things don't make sense.
Yes.
And someone called out interim coach Sharon Moore, who's filling in for Jim Harbaugh, mm-hmm. on that very subject by saying, how on God's earth can you be America's team and also Michigan versus everybody? And this is what he said.
Everybody that's against us is on the other side. So if you're, if America's with us, then let's go. You guys are with us. And if not, then tough.
Yeah, that was a total word salad of if you we are America's team, and if you're with us, if you're not, you're against us, and you can't have it both ways. Which one are you? Are you the chippy, no one wants us here? Are you the Raiders? Are you embracing being the villains? Or are you America's team? Because you can't be both.
Or, L, can you? When General Washington crossed the icy Delaware.
Oh, God.
Okay. To battle for the independence of this great nation. It was America versus everybody. And everybody at the time was the Redcoats. And they were on the other side. So am I bailing out Coach Moore and Coach Washington because I can draw a historical conclusion and a historical fact that America's team is the team that helped gain America's independence? And that's not what Michigan is alluding to. Michigan is alluding to the enemy being on the other side. Nah, you know what? He's tripping. I don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I was going to say, because it wasn't America versus everybody. I mean, literally the French came and bailed us out. They helped us tremendously.
Whoa. We're not going to give the Fighting Rudy Gobert's any more credit on this show than they deserve. All right. We are not going to give the guy who got choked out, all 7 foot, however many inches of him, the Stifle Tower, and then him just wilting under the pressure.
But listen, this whole thing got me thinking about, you stand in front of these people at a press conference, and sometimes word salads come out, right? Like Dan Campbell's biting kneecaps. So Nick funny. Sirianni a couple of years ago was talking about how his team was like a flower or something, and they needed fertilizer, which I don't know if anybody told him is dog. And I started thinking about not just the best press conferences or like the best speeches of all time, but just like the most relatable ones, right? Because there's those galvanizing ones. There's like the ones where, you know, you play to win the game, like our guy Herm Edwards, right? You know, and there's all of these like really notorious ones, right?
Yeah.
But I thought about the ones that sort of related to me.
Oh, here we go.
Ones like Joe Kim Noah talking about Cleveland.
Do you regret anything that you said about Cleveland?
Not at all. You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say, I'm going to Cleveland on vacation.
I'm just saying, I love when someone gets up there and they're like, just tell me that I'm wrong. That didn't have anything to do with the basketball. He didn't talk about X's and O's, preparation, their game plan. He just decided, I'm just going to tell you how I feel about Cleveland. And he incited the ire of a million Clevelanders.
So anybody ever want to go to vacation in Cleveland? First of all, Cleveland is a wonderful American city. And yes, they've been hit with some hard economic times, part of the Rust Belt and whatnot. But Cleveland was once a thriving metro area. Okay. I like Cleveland. I love Cleveland.
Cleveland rocks, some have said.
It sure does. It sure. I love that speech. My favorite speech of all time, and it comes around, one of my favorite sports speeches of all time, and it comes around every March Madness, is the BC kid talking about what he's going to miss most after his BC Eagles got eliminated. And he sat there in tears. He was gaining his composure, recollecting himself after a heartbreaking loss. Leans into the mic and says what he'll miss most is this.
Going out to eat.
It's so funny. It's like so relatable, just like going out to eat, hitting the 99s.
It's so funny, like the cheat codes that parents give each other. When I first had my first kid, I had a colleague at ESPN that was like, by the way, at the 99 on Wednesdays,
kids eat free
when the Red Sox wins.
Yes. L, those Gold Fever wings, you get those for free, double cheat code. And then also they give you the popcorn and then the crackers, and then you get the pub cheese, and then you just go for the triple threat, which is you scoop the cracker into the cheese and then dip it into the popcorn. Anybody, this is a regional specific hack, but if you go to the 99s, make sure you get the popcorn, crackers, and pub cheese, dip it, dip it into the popcorn. You'll thank me later.
I'm not doing that. You know why I'm not doing that? Because I'm a man. I'm 40. Also a fantastic press conference.
Oh my gosh.
Mike Gundy for the win.
And also, you are 40. You slid that by.
Yeah. You see how I did that?
You turned making 40 into the new 20. Okay. Thank you.
Listen, if you want to look like me, all it takes is like great lighting and an hour of hair and makeup. Mike Gundy, notorious, if you don't know, he was defending one of his players. You know, they were losing and someone wrote about one of his players not playing well and he attacked that person.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me.
You know, pick on me. I'm a grown man. I'm 40. I can take it.
Student reporter at the time.
Dude, Mike Gundy might have the greatest job of all time. Yeah. That dude has so much job security for the rest of his life, having played there, having been an OK State guy. He doesn't have to win. He just has to be crazy average, and he 100% has his job forever. Legit. I mean, the expectation there is like 6-7 wins a year, maybe 5-6 wins a year. He can do that. He's been there for a million years. Like, well, if he did that press conference now, he'd be like, I'm a man. I'm 60. I mean, it's been that long.
56.
Yeah.
I think he's 56. You know how I can tell this man also, too, and coaching is such a high-stress job, but I can tell this man has never stressed a day in his life, and you can tell this on men specifically. His hairline is still incredible. I don't think you can get mullet restoration anywhere. Okay. I don't think that people just do that. That's all natural. All right. You don't just pull up into Bosley Hair Center and be like, hey, can y'all save this mullet?
Restoration project.
I'm saying this dude has never stressed a day in his life. His corners are not kicked back. He don't got the cul-de-sac head as most middle-aged men have. My dude is cooling. My dude is cooling in Stillwater. He's good. He is good.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Speaking of a restoration project, this one markedly more important than hair. The Swifties are at it again.
Oh, stop it, Elle.
The Swifties are at it again. They have done one of my favorite pastimes for other people to do. Certainly, I don't have the time or bandwidth to sit down and just randomly start looking at people's tweets from a million.
Oh, yes, this is good.
But the Swifties have had a lot of time on their hands. They've been sitting with this relationship between their queen, Taylor Swift, and Travis Kelce. And now they're resurfacing tweets. And a lot of times that would be terrifying to the subject, right? To the PR, they'd be like, oh God, here we go. They're resurfacing tweets. And when that headline came down a couple of days ago, when I saw it, I was like, oh no. But in the most Travis Kelce way, these are the most endearing tweets. Like, they're just very Travis Kelce-esque. And I feel like, Gary, they've been incredibly enlightening, right? Like,
yeah,
like,
depending on what your definition of enlightening is.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the man is a giver, as evident by this tweet. I just gave a squirrel a piece of bread and it straight smashed all of it. I had no idea they ate bread like that. Ha ha, hashtag crazy. Or the idea that he's philosophical, per this tweet. The moon looks crazy tonight. I'm gonna chill out here for a little and just visualize my success and vibe to the scenery.
All right, hold on, time out. Because I've done that before. I'm 2 years older than Travis Kelce. I'm 36. He's 34. My favorite one of all of these resurfaced tweets. Because everybody had this little era in their come up in their life, in their maturation, where they thought they were like way more, to your point, enlightening, philosophical than they really were. And to prove that, they just used big words and jumped together.
Yeah, this one's good.
The capacity to live in the past by memory can only emancipate the individual from the tyranny of the present. What the hell does that mean?
Listen, everybody at some point went to Barnes & Noble and started looking up Nietzsche or all these other what is the meaning of life crap, you know? Some of us grew out of it. Some of us are Aaron Rodgers. But yes, Travis Kelce absolutely tweeting that is amazing. And also, I thought for you, the most relatable tweet that I saw. You ready for this?
Yep.
Went from class to therapy. Now I need some Chipotle. And then I'm off to check out my new apartment. Now, as someone who loves Chipotle, who carries their water, are you upset that he called it Chipotle, or are we riding with that slight?
Yeah, I guess he's just sort of foreshadowing when he and Taylor settle down, have kids, and he turns full dad mode. He turns full parent mode.
Yeah.
And he starts calling Chipotle, Chipotle, and he starts calling dinner, supper, and things of that nature. And he starts telling the kids, "Hey, you guys ready to rock and roll?" He sees a friend in a store. He's like, "They let anybody in here." He's just sort of getting ahead of that.
Yeah.
He's just getting ahead of that.
He is. He also tweeted about Easter. So he's religious. He basically shouted out Jesus for taking one for the team.
Hey, listen, and
this
listen,
man can't be stopped.
And when you dumb it down, when you really break things down into layman's terms,
that
is effectively what Jesus did.
Yeah. Took one for the team. Appreciate you, homie.
Thank you.
Shout out to you.
You've
got Jesus in this show, and then you've got basketball Moses and Draymond Green. We're hitting all of the markers.
Yeah. We're crushing it.
There is a growing epidemic within the walls of, I'm not even going to just say Bristol. We've got locations in New York and LA, and some of the more egregious examples come from there. There is a epidemic happening. It is a plague.
Oh, no.
It is contagious. It has infected everyone.
Oh, no.
And I'm just going to call it out. We are punning entirely too much.
Oh.
And I want to say this is devastating to me because my own husband calls me big pun. I love puns. All right. I love them. Okay. So this is not a slight on my coworkers, colleagues, producers that come up with these names. This is just so that you guys realize how out of control it's truly gotten. I have compiled a list of, and I know this isn't it. This is just what I could think of. A list of the people who have had their names punned in some kind of way on ESPN. And what I'm going to do here, Gary, is I'm going to give you the name of the segment, and then you're going to tell me which one of our colleagues it's been punned after. You ready?
Well, it should be easy.
Here we go. What did D. Fox say?
Dominique Foxworth.
Also, no Fox given.
Oh, that's a good one too.
The Dan Wagon.
Oh, that's Dan O.
Very important person.
Well, there's many Kims. Kimberly A. Martin?
Bam. And again, you guys, I want to be clear here. These are all real segments that have aired or are currently airing on ESPN. Fine or not fine?
Oh, that's our boy, Paul. I love me some Paul Feinbaum. Love him.
Mic drop.
Well, okay, that one's tough because there's many mics, but I'm going to go with Greeny.
No. Does this help? Oh, Tannenbaum.
Oh, front office insider, Mike Tannenbaum. Yep, Mike T.
Chinay or yay?
Congratulations on the new engagement, Chinay.
Sacho mind.
Sacho! My boy Sacho, dude. That guy is a walking breath of fresh air.
He's awesome.
I love Sacho.
Can he or Canty?
Chris
Canty.
Chris Canty.
Wizard of Groz.
Wait, hold on. All of these are real?
I still have so much more, Gary. Wizard of Groz.
Okay, I know that's our boy Dan Graziano, and we try to bust his balls every weekend, because every time he joins the show, I say, oh, now we're adding a little bit of Grazitas to the show.
Oh, God.
Graz father. I love me some Graz.
Perkin jerk.
God, we say that to Kendrick?
I've got more. Damian Woody has his own collection. Knock on wood. Would you believe? Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Woodpile. Woodstock. Woody clothes. Woody claws. I wish someone would.
All of that. We've not done Big Wood yet. That's weird.
I'm guilty too, of course. There's L's Dunkin', which That's was right. a segment with just NBA dunks. There's, of course, Taking the L. And I am still trying to get Dunkin's Do Not to be a sold thing that we do. But, yeah. Gary, I feel like we missed a few, right? Imagine Brian Windhorst reporting on a coach getting fired. Gone with the Windy.
That's good.
How about, this is personal to you, a baseball and skeet shooting highlight combined. You could call it Strike Skeet.
That's
what
good.
About great plays that are read by our SportsCenter colleague, Shea Cornett, Shea Butter. An NBA mixtape read by your co-host on SportsCenter, Scott Tate. And finally, my girl, Malika Andrews, she tried to say to me yesterday, oh, I'm so glad I don't have a punnable name, so I can't be on this list. That's not true. Watch. Oh, Malika, you broke a story from an inside source? You Malik'd it. You can laugh if you want to. Someone right now is about to put it on a graphic.
Actually, Malik'd it's really good. Malik'd it. That's good.
Gary.
And all that to
Gary,
say,
Gary, these are all real, and I know there's some I'm not remembering.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing, L, you went the last 10 minutes just ripping through that, and how impressive is it that my name is Gary? It is the most unpunnable on everything name that you can think of. There ain't for me. There ain't nothing for me.
Yeah. That's why I gave you Strike Skeet.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, as improbable as will ever be that we'll show skeet shooting on SportsCenter.
When skeet shooting gets hot one day, let me tell you, because I do a little skeet shooting. I do a little skeet shooting with some birdshot on my 12 gauge. And
after you shoot it, do you go, oh, skeet, 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 skeet,
oh,
skeet,
skeet, skeet, skeet, skeet, skeet, skeet, skeet, skeet. That's me.
I already know. Okay, so you are in Vegas. You've been there all week.
Yep.
And you're covering Formula One. And I don't know. It just feels like those two things go hand in hand. The wealth, the access, the excess. You're doing it all, Gary.
Vegas is an absolute show right now. And a lot of people, because I'm going to be here for a whole week by the time this airs, and they're like, oh my gosh, Vegas, it's going to be such a good time. What are you getting into? And my answer has been, you know what I'm getting into? I'm getting into my bed. This is the most sleep I've gotten probably in the last calendar year. I'm not kidding, because we're 3 hours behind. So of course I'm doing stuff back at home base in Bristol, but there's all these parties, events, things like that. I was in bed 10 o'clock last night. Night before I was in bed at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm sleeping a full 8-9 hours. Anyway. Oh, yeah. The race is Saturday night. Mixed reviews out here so far, because it's really putting a disruption as far as the logistics on the actual strip. The locals hate it. It's very hard to get in. It's congested. They shut down the street at night. I spoke with Lewis Hamilton at length yesterday, and that interview will be all over our ESPN number of platforms. And you know, he's a little lukewarm on the race itself. He's saying that it is causing some disruption, but listen, if it's going to be $1 billion in estimated economic impact, he's hoping that money trickles into the day-to-day workers here. But I'm looking forward to the spectacle. It's going to be a night race. It's going to be cold. It's going to look like a video game. The sphere is insane. Do not make direct eye contact with it, or it will send you into a body crippling headache. Trust me. I know it hurts my face. But yeah, it's freaking awesome out here. But I was speaking to Lewis Hamilton yesterday, and one of our producers, Zach Couts, brought up a good point. You know, we do SportsCenter. We have the fortune of getting to talk to a lot of cool people. And he asked me afterwards, he said, is Lewis Hamilton on your Mount Rushmore of like most famous, notable people you've ever talked to? And it was a quick yes. You know, I've been in the business for about going on 15 years, and Lewis Hamilton is right up there. And it got me thinking, L, who's your Mount Rushmore of people in this business that you've been able to talk to?
David Ortiz, I'm going for my first spring training in Fort Myers. You know, I've been warned Boston media can be prickly. I don't know anybody. I'm so scared. And I show up my first day at spring training and I, you know, I'm wearing like a, you know, like a coral dress, which if you're trying to blend in, probably wasn't the color, but alas, I go into the and I'm just kind of like hanging in the corner. I don't want anyone to see me. I don't know. And David Ortiz walks by and just goes, "God damn, that's an orange dress."
And that's his way of saying hello and welcome.
That was him, his way of saying hello. He couldn't be a nicer guy. He is a,
he's awesome.
He is a man of the people. Like, he gets it. You know, he is there to put on a show. You know when he's in the room, but he makes everybody feel really special, and he's a good dude. So there you go. See, athletes, they're just like us.
He's a teddy bear, man, who hits home runs. I got an awesome David Ortiz story that we'll save for the next episode because we're running up against time, and that would be a tease. He basically threw me the keys to his Lamborghini.
Oh, that's a great tease. And when you tell that story, I'll tell a little story about the time Pablo Sandoval told me some information that Red Sox PR immediately then ran behind me and said, "Please don't say that on television." That's a tease too.
That's a damn good tease because you never told me that story.
So good. And with that, enjoy Vegas. And we will be back in studio on Monday where you'll get to see our shining faces gazing into each other's shining faces.
That's right.
Holler.